I have children in progress. I try to always tell the young families if they have kids and make noise, just thank God they're there. Like, this is a delight. Because we're a family. And we do for family, don't we? We care for family. This is our vision month. Hope you've got a good document. If you have not, there's more on the way out. Please, I'd like to encourage you. We have probably sent it out by electronically on Facebook, and we'll continue to do that. It gives us a bit of understanding where our focus will be for 2023. And today is the second week, and every week we're going to be looking at some aspect of this, a different aspect. So we'd encourage you to keep it with you, to ponder and to think as we do this together. I wonder if I've got a picture of a guide dog for you. I don't know if you've ever seen a professional animal handler and how well they can actually make animals, dogs, anything, behave and train. Just on the news last week, there's a woman who has epileptic fits, and the dog actually tells her when, 2 or 3 minutes before she had the fit, the dog tells her so she can sit down so she doesn't fall over the head. Remarkable. And I've had the privilege of having guide dogs in our house and seeing actually how they're trained. And you've got a guide dogs, the remarkable thing is when they have a line of chairs there, and they have 3 or 4 people on there, and there's one chair free. And the guide dog has got to get the person, the handler, to the seat and sit them on that empty seat, not on the lap of the lady next to it. Has to actually find the seat that is free and sit there so that the person can sit at the seat. And to see how they do that, you see, what they do is actually work out what they want to teach the dog first. He is someone going on a train. But this example I saw was a row of seats. And so they actually have to work out what's the end that they want. And then they have to take the steps, each step, back, and try to work out how do these steps lead to this outcome, the outcome of actually finding a seat and having a person sit. And they train the dog step by step. But they've got to know the big picture. They don't know what the handlers are trying to achieve so they can work out the steps. I guess in a very real way, that's not news to anyone. I hope that you all work in that world. You all think, well, I want a garden, this is what I want to look like, and so then you work back and you work out the steps to get to the garden. Paint the house, the same. We've been looking forward to seeing what God wants us to do and what we believe God wants us to be. In 2023, the vision is for a kingdom impact. We're asking God if we can be a part of an impact for the kingdom of God, partnering with him. We are daring to believe that the book of Acts is not yet finished writing, that in chapter 2023, God is going to write something through his spirit in the lives of our church, in our location of the valley, Holster Valley, and we're going to be a part of it. We want to see a kingdom impact where we're drawing upon the power of the Holy Spirit, using our lives, being channels for what he wants. We want to be God's people carrying God's presence and God's authority into God's world. There's 4 gods there, isn't there? I mentioned God's people, that's us, people who bear the Spirit of God, the people who follow Jesus. We want to be God's people with God carrying God's presence. And we carry God's presence through the Holy Spirit. My prayer and hope is that you will be known as people of peace, that actually in your workplace, that you could actually be found to be part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, peace, kindness, that you will be known. And again, this is actually God's presence going. But you're going with God's authority because Jesus Christ, the one who sits at the right hand side of the Father, actually who has all the authority given to him by God, gives us the responsibility to go out. And we're going out into God's world. And I guess what we've been doing, the church leaders and ministry leaders, what we've been doing is trying to work out what if we want to see kingdom impact, if we want to see God's people carrying God's presence, with God's authority and God's will, what are the steps that we need to make to get there? How are everything really ensure in place? And how do we do that? And as I was thinking about this week, we need some superpowers. Okay? We need superpowers. Superman's strong, and we've got a strength, but he's got a superpower, hasn't he? So, what are the superpowers that God gives us? I want you to think about this. We have a huge weapons. We have huge tools at our disposal. And the four that we're focusing on this year is love, prayer, give, and serve. Superpowers. They're going to bring impact. We're going to love, we're going to pray, and we're going to give, and we're going to serve. And where are you going to take these superpowers and use them? There's four areas of your life that we want you to use these superpowers. We want you to develop these superpowers. You've got to build them up as you work with the Holy Spirit in your life. Where are the four areas we want to see these superpowers employed? Well, in your intimacy with Jesus, because that's where you're going to get your strength. In your family and friends' relationships, which we're going to talk about today. In our community, your marketplace. Bob mentioned that, that's the sort of thing we're talking about. In our spiritual home, that here amongst you as a community, that will actually see these superpowers of love, prayer, give and service, we'll actually see how this will be. I'd like you to think about your last week. No, this is your active nine times. Think about some time in your last week when you've been intimate with Jesus. Just have a think about it. When was it? Just have a think. You don't want you to tell me out loud. Where was it? Was it a couple of times? Well, in that space there, in that space you're thinking about, I want us in 2023 to focus more about receiving the love of Christ, praying to him, giving and serving. Think about a moment that amongst your family or friends, a significant moment in the last week. Just have a think about it. Can you picture one where it's a significant time in the week that it was really important to you? How do we employ those superpowers of love, prayer, giving and serving there in that? I want you to think about a time in your community or your marketplace, your workplace. Think about a time, when you think of a specific time, most of us are probably between Monday and Friday. How can you, this is what we're thinking about, how can you love, pray, give and serve there and bring an impact to the kingdom of God? Think about one time when you were with your spiritual family, your spiritual home. And I think you are, do you? You're here. Just wanted to ask you, where were you intentionally show love? How will you pray? How will you give? How will you serve? And I just delighted the way, almost the two boys were out here putting the chairs out. Oh, almost was there too. was putting the chairs out. I just love that. I love how many people have served even for us to get here to this point. There's more people that have served than you would probably could count, you could imagine. Thank you. Where can we develop these things? And so we looked at our intimacy with Jesus. Go to the next slide. I'd love you to think into, like, because when we're talking about intimacy with Jesus, it's not about how you can love Jesus. I want you to spend time focusing on how Jesus loves you. That's what I want you to do. Don't tell Jesus how much you love him. Let him tell you how much he loves you. And then you'll the delight in that, the fullness of that. Let him fill you up. Let God promise to pour the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Pour, not just drop. I'm asking you to pray one big prayer about your intimacy with Jesus. I wonder if you've thought into that. This one big prayer, this whole year that you probably might be asking God, you're banging on God's door saying, Father, you said I come to you. Jesus told me to pray with perseverance. This is my big prayer for me and you this year. What about giving? Giving time, priority, and money. This might be where you want, even maybe giving up. This may link into your prayer. What things are destructive to you that you need to give up? Maybe some addictions, pornography, maybe greed or ambition. Maybe you need your big prayer will be, Lord, can I give this up this year? I don't want this to rule my life anymore. That might be a big prayer. And the working out of that is the giving up. I'm going to give this as a sacrifice. I'm going to give it to Jesus. And how can you serve in joyful submission? Those words, joyful submission, they were carefully chosen. How can you joyfully submit? Because the desired outcomes is we want to see people first-time commitments to Jesus. We just want, let me put it out there really blatantly, we just want to see people come to Jesus for the first time. We had a baptism last year, we had two, but we want to see more baptisms because that's a sign that actually there's kingdom impact happening. We want to see people serve, and whether it's here or outside, I don't mind. It's serving for the kingdom of God. We believe life groups are significant. That we come together, that's where you talk about the nitty-gritty of life. And we think discipleship relationships, which we're going to be talking more maybe during the year. How do we intentionally have relationships? Because we want to build people up. We want to disciple people to Jesus, and we want to continue that journey after they say yes to Jesus. But today, remember I spoke about those four superpowers, and I said where the four superpowers are going to be used. Intimacy with Jesus, family and friends. We're looking at family and friends today. That's our focus. I want to give you a proverb. Now, I don't think I have to really convince you too much about the importance of family and friends. For this, let me give you a proverb, Proverb 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is one of those proverbs. And what if you can think of a friend who sticks closer than a brother? I wonder if you can think of someone who has journeyed with you, and I hope there's someone in your life. I just hope that you pray that you've got someone in your life who is that sort of friend. But let me ask you the question, which sort of friend are you in the year? Are you the one who's the unreliable one, who can't be relied upon? Or are you the one who you can stick closer than a brother with your friends? We're not talking about Facebook friends here. If all my Facebook friends were my true friends, I'd be the most popular person in the world, I think. But we're not talking about Facebook friends, what we're talking about is those who are journeying with us in life. You don't have to be close to friends to everyone. Here, you cannot be close friends with everyone. You cannot sustain that sort of intimate relationship with one another. There's going to be a group of people that you will actually find you're more closely intimate, but we need to be those sort of friends where we can greet people warmly and welcome people here. But even Jesus, I mean, he had the 12, there was three who just was closest in with him. So he had three, and then he had sort of 12, and then there was about 100 people that seemed to be at the time of Pentecost there, 120. And then there's crowds of 4,000 and 5,000. Don't think you need to be closely intimate friends with everyone. But those people that you are close intimate friends with, where can you pray, love, pray, serve and give into their life? I want to go to John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. A friendship is one of sacrifice, of self-giving, and then there's no greater sacrifice than actually giving your life for your friend. So friendship is sacrificial. It's going to cost you to be a friend. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to give of yourself. But in this space, we believe, as church leaders and ministry, we believe we can actually have a kingdom impact. We actually can see, because I'm sure you've got family or friends who don't know Jesus. One Corinthians 13 talks about sacrifice and self-giving. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And don't you? That's our goal. That's the superpower we're desiring to shape into our life through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the sort of friendship that Christ himself commends. 1 Timothy 5:8. Those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. We have an obligation to those closest to us. An obligation to God, because that's in God's heart. It's how God has created us. In these relationships, this is the very heart of God. We'll read Mark chapter 7. This is Jesus saying, and Jesus continued, You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses says, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses your father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is korban, that is, it's a Hebrew word, so Mark had to translate, what's that means devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you handed down, you do many things like this. You see what's the problem? What they're saying is, if you're a religious person and you want to give what is rightfully the responsibility to you, instead of giving it to your parents or someone in your children, you actually give it to God. Here they have this sort of tradition where you call it korban. You mean that is something you're going to give. So you give what is rightfully your parents, and you say, God, here it is. I don't have to give to my parents or my family. And what that is you're not sacrificing something that's yours. you're actually sacrificing something that is someone else's. And so a sacrifice that doesn't cost you anything is no sacrifice at all. And here, of course, is here's a reason that people could give to God, feel good about that, but actually it's a cost that came at the expense of others. This is particularly dangerous for pastors, church leaders, ministry leaders, and those in sort of religious authority in churches. So somehow we sacrifice our families on the altar of church so that we think that God might be pleased. And so what that means is that some pastors, some ministry leaders don't even see their children. They'll work, they'll do all the things that they think they're called to do, and they won't actually give their children, their families, what is rightfully theirs. It's really hard for a pastor's spouse at times. We talk about how a pastor can actually have a mistress. It's the church. The church is the mistress. And how can a wife, a godly wife, compete with the mistress of the church? Where the pastor gets all this kudos and thrills about leading a church, and his wife's home, often wife suffering because she doesn't have a husband. So that's korban. So I've got another word for you. Next slide. Nabrok. Does anyone know what Nabrok is? Sorry? It's korban back. That's very good. I was wondering who's going to be the person who said that. Because I wouldn't have done this one, but so Nabrok is a word that I've made up. and Nabrok is the opposite to Korban. So it's what would be the opposite of Korban? So I'm not giving to my family what is, but I'm giving to God. So this is what we ought to give to God, but we're actually going to give it to our family or friends. There's a real danger here. If we don't have God as our number one priority in life, if we don't have God as our number one priority in life, if we're teaching our children that there can be alternatives to God, but we need not fear, as children need not fear, In my relationship with Wendy, she knows that God is my priority. The good news for her is God says, look after your wife, you love your wife as your first priority. But she doesn't have to worry that God is somehow going to win my affection more than her. Because, and in the relationship with our children understood that our relationship's actually, that's a priority in our relationship. Our relationship's a priority. And that makes it a really safe place for kids to grow up, doesn't it? If their own mum and dad are just together, number one, they're going to be... It's a great place for kids to find safety. But mum and dad are going to split up. Mum and dad are going to go separate ways. There's been two examples that just sort of stick out in my mind about where people have pulled Nabrok on something. I remember this was one pastor telling me how he was working with a family who were going through some financial difficulties, and there was no giving as a part of their lifestyle. And the father said, no, we've directed our giving to our kids' education, Christian education. So we give our tithe to the Christian education of their kids, because that's expanding the kingdom of God. Is there a problem with you? I think that's Nabrok. And education is a really important part of our kids' life, and somehow they'll work it out, but to justify giving what you think is God's and spending it on your kids, I think it's Nabrok. Well, the pastor, it was only a couple of weeks ago, about months ago, he said, a guy came to me in a church and he said, look, pastor, I want you to know, I'm fully committed to this church. We are completely committed to this church. And so you will see us here once a month without fail. We're not a one-day kids' sport on Sunday, so we can't get here very often, but we're going to be here. We're going to make a priority. But I just want you to know we are fully committed to this community. Can you be a part? Can you really be a community if you just turn up once a month? I reckon you could be a club. There's some clubs. I've got a club I go to once a month, and sometimes I miss that. And I can go back there. That's a club. It's not my community. I think that's Navarro. 2 Timothy 1:5. I reminded, this is Paul speaking of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. This is Paul speaking about Timothy. He talks about his mother, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, who faithfully taught this young man and now is a remarkable minister to God. What a wonderful picture. What could be more important than for us to raise our children and our grandchildren in the name, into understanding what it means to put Jesus first? Talking with Mark Davies just the other day was a really... I wanted to come up and share something. Can you grab the microphone? It was a really wonderful thing. I want him to share what he said to me as an example of this.
I'll try and remember what I said. My age in life, I came to a realisation that both my parents are dead, and you start to realise that, I'm the head of the family, and what does that mean? So I've been reflecting on that, and I started my reflection, of course, I said to my kids and their partners, look, this is what you could do, and do it better than I did. And I thought, well, that's job done, isn't it? No. I kept reflecting on family, and we've lived a blessed life. Not through anything we've done. We haven't done anything different to what other people have done. And so I started to reflect on the family, and I looked at the heritage and realised that there was a Christian heritage there, and I thought, probably part of the reason that I've lived such a blessed life is because previous generations have prayed for me and my family and my kids and so on. And so that's what got laid on me. My job as head of my family now is to pray for my grandkids, continue to pray for my kids, that they will remain with Jesus, so their relationship with Jesus will grow, their relationship together will grow, that they will create an environment in their home where my grandkids have an opportunity to come to know Jesus, that my grandkids will come to know Jesus, and then they will find Christian partners, and so it goes on and so forth. So, yeah. Now, it's a privilege to come in the office every Tuesday, but I'm really careful what I say from now on.
That's why I wanted to share that with you today. Because it's so important. It's so important that we pray for not... The thing that delights me, I've never thought about praying for the generations to come. But our kids... every day, for the generations to come. Family is hard, isn't it? Family is messy. Family is difficult. I know, I've got a family. But how do we love when it's hard? What's the big prayer that you're going to be praying for your family? The one big prayer. I want you to, God, give me one big prayer. What time and priority and money are you going to plough into your family and friends? And how can you serve them with joyful submission? We want to be God's people carrying God's presence and God's authority in God's world. This includes family and friends. So let me encourage you, if you want to go home, and in here, there's this, you see it? And I'd love you to work through with God. What are the things you're going to do? What love are you going to practice when it's hard? What's the one big prayer? The one big prayer that you're going to pray. I bet it's going to be something around forgiveness. I reckon half of us are going to be saying, Lord, I need to forgive, and it's really hard. Or, Lord, I would love someone to forgive me that I hurt. I reckon that's going to be 50% of us. Give time, priority, and money, and I think maybe when you add forgiveness, maybe a part of that. How are you going to serve your family in joyful submission? Remember the big picture, what we're doing, kingdom impact, God's people, carrying God's presence in God's authority in God's world. This is what we're after. This is what it means. Are you going to have the guts to actually step up in this area of family and friends and develop these four superpowers? I'm going to pray. Father, Lord, this is beyond any of us. But it's only if your Holy Spirit can, and we know the Spirit can work in us, Lord, it's only if we're prepared to allow the Spirit of God to work in us. Lord, we grieve over the brokenness that we find in our family and friends. We grieve over them. Lord, we despair when we know the sufferings of some of our family and friends. Lord, show us how to love, and it's hard. Lord, give us at least that one big prayer that we dare not pray because we're just so worried we're not going to get the answer to it. But you are a big God, so I'm going to pray that you would give us that one big prayer. But what are the areas in life that we need to give sacrifice? And Lord, where do we need to serve with joyful submission? Holy Father, we call you Father in heaven because we are one family. We know the value that you put on family. Lord, help us show that in our earthly families, even when it's hard. In Jesus' name.